Welcome back to Eliza's Havoc. So far, your favorite host, me, Dominique, and I know we're all anxious, so I'll get right to the point. Today's segment will be on a housewife. I know some of you all are just ready, and some of you all are probably thinking, oh my God. It's a woman. She said she was a wife. What's she about to talk about? Some of you guys already have the right idea. What I want to talk about today is the qualities that makes one a wife. We have a lot of people out there that for some reason think just because some man or some woman, I got to say that now, gives you a ring and marries you, that officially makes you a wife. Now, legally, it does. Just because you have the paperwork and the title of a wife does not make you so. That's almost like saying, hey, just because you have the paperwork and a paycheck saying that you work at this place doesn't mean that you're actually doing your job. And some may not understand this or even be aware, but in order to be a wife, matter of fact, I'm not just going to say wife. In order to be a spouse, it takes work and it is a job. And just like any job, if you're not willing to put in the work, don't even apply for the position. I know I probably hurt somebody's feelings out there. What I mean by that is that in order to be a wife, and I speak on a wife because this is something that I know from personal experience, I live it every day. Some days are good, some days not so much, but at the end of the day, I do a job, I provide a service, and I do it very well. So, in order to be a spouse, we'll say that, you have to put in work. This is everything from being faithful, taking care of your home. It can be house and home, apartment and home, just your home in general. If you have children, taking care of your children. And by taking care of, I just want to do a side note that I'm not talking about, you know, you feed them, you dress them, and that is about the equivalent to the work you have to put on your children. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about putting in major work. Me as a wife, I cook, I clean, I raise my children to be level-headed, to think ahead, to be able to finish every project or everything that they begin, and to be able to clean up after themselves. Any parent out there, male or female, mom, dad, step, all that, if you all deal with children, you all know what I'm talking about. That's before we even get into the fears of trying to give them skills to be able to handle other people's children in any and all situations they're in. So far, we're just talking about just inside the home. But me, I also work from home. So the fact that I work from home does make things a bit more complicated, but the fact of the matter is, I make sure to put in the time and the energy to get everything done, and if not everything, as much done as possible, so that when my spouse, in this case my husband, gets home, he can relax. He can be able to unwind from his day. And if he's able to unwind, then usually not much longer than him getting home, taking about an hour or two of personal time to himself. He will come and ask me, "Babe, thank you so much for everything you've done. Is there anything I can do for you to be able to unwind?" Sometimes I say no. Sometimes I'll tell him something that I'm needing assistance with. But all in all, we work together. And in order to work together, I play my part. Now, I speak about this, or I'm speaking on this, because we have a lot of people out here, young men and young ladies, that really just think that as long as they can get the piece of paper that says that we're married, as long as I can go to the DMV and have a piece of paper that will allow me to change my name on a driver's license, I'm the spouse. And that's all I had to do. Anyone who's ever been divorced, or anyone who's ever been in a truly long relationship, or who's been married for over 2 or 3 years, can vouch for the fact that you all can be as happy as y'all want to be. You all can be as in love as you want to be. But if you guys don't know how to work together, communicate, and be able to keep everything else that you all have going on together, you can have that piece of paper all you want. That piece of paper is not going to do you no good. I say that because along with these spouses that, once again, I've seen from my own eyes, there's a lot of chaos. And usually the chaos escalates once the paper license is involved. Or you have relationships that start the process of demise because one doesn't have the piece of paper or the permission to be able to claim one as a spouse. I told a girlfriend recently who was in a relationship with this young man and who really couldn't understand why he had told her he was going to marry her. She had, of course, rushed and made plans, and you know, he was still biding his time. And don't get me wrong, as a woman, a lot of times whenever a man buys their time, we think, oh, it's because they really don't love us. They don't want to marry us. But in this case, it wasn't that. This young lady was still going out, sleeping with guys that were not her potential spouse. This young lady was still going out to clubs. She would, don't get me wrong, she would go to work and she would come home. And this young lady has children. She would leave her children at home with her potential spouse and expect him to do all the things that you all are supposed to be doing together as a team. And mind you, every day my friend will call me whenever things were going great to boast and brag, which whenever usually we're in a good relationship, we tend to do with our friends. But she would also call me to vent, which once again, we usually do, or we all do with our friends or the people we consider dear and close to us. Now, I tried to explain to her, as well as my husband tried to explain to her, that you can't do single things and wonder why someone is not wanting to couple up. Now, some of y'all completely understood what that meant. Some of you all are scratching your head, still trying to figure it out. So I'm going to go ahead and break it down for you. You cannot do things that you were doing when you were single and expect for a life change to happen, or expect to prepare for a life change to happen. What that means is you cannot act like you're single, yet expect somebody to be able to keep their behavior, promises, bonds, and everything in check and under control because they said that they saw a future with you. Whenever you are a potential spouse, this is husband and or wife, and you are lucky enough to get word. See, my friend, she was lucky enough to be able to get word ahead of time. So as far as I'm concerned, she had plenty of time to prepare herself. She had plenty of time to transition into the full position of a wife. A lot of people out there don't have that heads up. So whenever you are lucky enough to go ahead and get the heads up, that's the time that you need to start acting as if you are already married. You are already settled down. No one wants someone who they cannot trust. No one wants someone who has given themselves to everyone. I'm not just talking about your body, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about your heart as well. No one wants someone that is going to devote the same time and energy into somebody else. No one wants that. No one wants to feel like number two. No one wants to feel like they are an option. No one in a relationship or trying to pursue a relationship wants to feel like they are anything less than a priority. Now, many times it's a bit more tolerated whenever there's children involved, but even then, no adult wants to feel like they are anything less than a priority. Now, even after expressing this to my friend, it completely went over her head. She didn't get it. She just thought that I was trying to attack her and tell her what she was doing was wrong. And in some cases, I wasn't attacking her, but I was trying to inform her that her choices could have been made better. Because I never want my friends to feel like I'm attacking them. I never want my friends to feel like there's judgment coming. Judgment is not my job. That's not my place. And I will not spend time and energy doing it. But what I was doing was trying to allow my friend to be able to see things from her potential or her prospect perception and perspective. And later on, I found out that she was not ready to be a wife. She thought that it literally just consisted of doing everything you can do to get that paper license. She really didn't understand that it was a job. And just like a job, once you get the job, you have to do a job. She didn't look at it like that. She just saw it as, you know, she wanted to be a Disney princess and have the happily ever after, which in her mind was nothing but the wedding day. A lot of times people, especially whenever you're speaking about marriage, they see the wedding day. They don't see what life is like after the wedding day. See, me, whenever I grew up, my mother made sure that I looked at the way things were, and she made sure that I saw it from the viewpoint of after the wedding. And for that, I am truly thankful. In all honesty, even though me and my mother had our differences about certain things, my mother prepared me to be a wife from a very young age. At that very young age, the things came second nature to me, so I really didn't realize it as what it was. There are certain aspects that everybody that is wanting to be in a relationship is constantly attracted to. And many times I've heard, and I can only speak on what I've heard. I don't know what all of my listeners heard. If you haven't heard it, you've heard, you're about to hear it now. Many times I've heard that if you were pretending or if you act as if you're taken, even when you're single, then you will get exactly what you're looking for. I've heard that in order to be a wife, you have to be a wife before you were given the chance. You can't be a girlfriend that half does things. In order to be a wife, there are certain steps that need to be made. I also heard that, you know, women don't go looking for husbands. Wives, you know, husbands find wives. I've also heard a man that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. I've heard many of these things, and because of this and these, there's much more that I've heard, but because of this, I was raised to pretty much expect or portray myself in a certain way. That way, nothing but what I was looking for was attracted to me. So, whenever I was growing up, I did a lot of things that were a bit different from my friends. Growing up, I dressed like a tomboy. I had a whole lot of people thinking that I was a stud when I wasn't. I dressed in baggy clothes. I made sure to cover from head to toe. I tried to be as unattractive as I really could because all of my friends were in the skimpy dresses, the short skirts, the tight clothes, showing off assets. And many don't know this about me, but I had a little brother who was very close in age. And he was also known as Mr. Popularity. So there was a lot of people that often came to my home to hang out. And amongst 10, 20, 30 people that on a regular would come to hang out, I would isolate myself away from them because I was doing my own thing. But in isolating myself, a lot of them forgot that I was there. So whenever it got to guy talk, I usually firsthand heard a lot of what the guys were saying. They were saying about women. They were saying about my friends. They would say about even my associates, some other people that I knew but didn't really care to know like that. I was getting all the lowdown just by pretty much staying to myself. And while hearing how these men would demean these girls, these women, they would talk about the things that one did, and they would plot on who was going to try to pick her up next and see what she would do. And, you know, how, you know, these women behaved whenever they got around a lot of friends and things of this nature. I began to understand, or at least at that time I thought that, you know, boys really had only one thing in mind. Now, mind you, that is something that we've all heard from our parents. You know, oh, well, those girls only have one thing on their mind, or those boys only have one thing on their mind. But it's different whenever you're hearing them from the same guys that are your potential prospects. So I did that. I also decided, because of what I was hearing, that not only was I going to continue to dress the way I was dressing because I was not getting anywhere near as much attention at that time as a lot of my friends were, but I also decided early on that, hey, these are not the type of guys that I want. Not because they weren't awesome, talented, attractive, popular boys. And whenever you're growing up in middle school and high school, those three those three statuses alone make any boy or girl awesome. But not because of their status, but because of the way they would talk. And I didn't want any boys talking about me like that. Not only that, but I didn't want any of these boys talking to my brother about me like that. Now, out that time, I really couldn't tell you how my brother would have reacted. I don't know if he would have defended me or, you know, if he would have made fun of me. He was my brother. And, you know, unless he was having an issue with a young lady, my brother usually went about his way and I went about mine. We traveled in very different circles. So due to this, I decided that, you know, I was going to kind of stay to myself until I got about 19, 20. Whenever I turned about 19 or 20, I decided that being that I was out of high school and I was going into college, I didn't want my mother to have to pay any more of the tuition. And I had some of my college paid for, but not a lot. I decided that I was going to make a move that was going to put me where I felt I needed to be financially, which was I started dancing. Now, mind you, please understand, I am not ashamed of anything I've ever done in my past. My past is what made me who I am. And as far as I'm concerned, whenever it came to me doing anything in my past, the only person's opinion that truly mattered to me and would have affected what I consider my entire world at that time was my mother's. So whenever I decided to start dancing, I was there for about 2 weeks, was making money every night, had a nice little stack sitting, and I was wanting to get a different type of bank account so I could be able to deposit my money every day that I got it. I decided to finally get the nerve to bring it to my mom. And I was scared to bring it to my mother. But whenever I finally brought it to my mother, all she did was ask three things of me. She says, I don't want you drinking while you're there. I don't want you drinking because whenever you drink, you get too comfortable. When you get too comfortable, you begin to slack up. You begin to forget things. You begin to stumble. You begin to forget to be cautious. And regardless of how long you're there and how friendly everybody is to you, that is not your home. The next thing she asked of me was to make sure that I never did any kind of drugs. It does not matter how friendly those people are. It doesn't mean, or it didn't matter, anything like that. Don't do drugs. It's easy to get access, and due to the financial gain of it, it's easy to become hooked. Just don't do it in general. The third thing she asked of me is to not go home with any customers. Now, that one was kind of a shock to me because I was like, wow, go home with customers. At that time, it was 2 weeks and I was very new to the scene. I was new to the environment because I isolated myself growing up from a lot of men, a lot of boys and things of this nature. But my mother explained to me, you're going to get some guys that are very smooth talkers and they're going to offer you money to do things that are out of your comfort zone. And she said, one of them may be to go home with them. Don't do it. She said, you know, if you can keep these three rules or if you can do these three things for me, then I have no problem with you dancing. I've raised you well. You have a level head. I trust your judgment. Once my mother told me that she trusted my judgment, I took those three things to another level. She said, don't drink. I never picked up alcohol. She says, don't do drugs. I smoked cigarettes at home. I didn't even smoke cigarettes whenever I was on the property of any club that I was working at. She told me not to go home. I took it a step further and decided not even to associate myself with anybody or anything that had to do with the club once my what I consider pumpkin hour was over or once my shift was over. It didn't matter if I saw you at a gas station and you just walked out the club. Don't wave to me. Do not say hi. Do not call me by my stage name. I will act as if you don't exist, as if I don't hear you, as if you were nothing but a fart in the wind. And it's not to be rude, but for me and my morals, I was keeping my promise to my mom. And like I said earlier, that's the one person's whose opinion meant the world to me. And they already told me that they trust my judgment, which for a young person to hear that from your parent after your parent has been on you tough growing up to make sure that you have all of the skills that you need to be able to succeed in life, no matter where you may go, no matter their true opinion of what you're doing or where you may go. That meant a lot to me. So those were the three rules that I lived by, but I will say I did stay in the club for a little over a decade. Now, while I was in the club for that decade, I was conservative in the club, which is kind of shocking because my body type, you would think that I would love to prance around. And I did. For me, being at the club was like playing dress up. But as conservative as I was and as good as I got on the pole and things of this nature, the most important part for me was being able to literally sit and talk with these men. Yes, it was my job to dance for them. Yes, it was my job to pretty much get money out of them. It was customer service in a fashion. But what people fail to realize is whenever you go to a gentleman's club and you actually sit and talk to the dancers, a lot of guys actually just need therapy. They just need a woman's perspective on a lot of other things. It doesn't matter how good you look, how much you want to prance around. Sometimes they just want to talk to you. And those were the ones I loved because with those guys, I was able to get the qualities that a man was looking for, not just for some chick in a strip club or some chick at a bar, but the real qualities that they would look for in a wife. Whenever they met their wives, what were the things that they found attractive about them? And a lot of times the first thing I would get would be their eyes. And mind you, I'm in a strip club. So I'm sitting here thinking, okay, you have breasts, you have butt, you have everything else. But they would sit there and tell me the first thing usually they would find attractive or that they would notice would be their eyes. The second thing would be their conversation, their intellect, the way that they are able to communicate. And after that, it was certain traits that they carried. You know, certain ways they carried themselves, certain ways they spoke, certain things they said, certain things they didn't say. So after 10 years of hearing from multiple men, the same answers to what men consider the qualities of a wife, the qualities of a girlfriend, the qualities of the girlfriend that they would, you know, date but would never marry, the qualities of girls that they would smash or they would sleep with but they would never date. The qualities of girls that they would take home, but they would already know before they even took them home to meet their mom that their mom wouldn't like them. Or the qualities of the type of women that, oh, my mom would absolutely adore. My mom would probably get along with her better than I would. After her meeting my mom, I couldn't bring up an argument with my mom because she's automatically going to side with her type of qualities. After listening to hundreds of men tell me the same things, I inadvertently began to implement these things in my everyday life. And that everyday life was also my everyday life at the club. Certain conversations I would have with men that were not about money. It got to where I was portraying these qualities so much subconsciously, inadvertently, that my last year, I had so many men look at me and they asked me, why do you even work here? I know you have a husband at home. You have to, because not only are you beautiful and you're fully covered, but if I had the chance just by talking to you for 5 minutes, I would marry you in a heartbeat. Mind you, while I was being told this, I did have a husband at home. And every day I would let my husband know the stories or the things that were said to me whenever I was at the club. So subconsciously, I began to do these things and got the type of positive message that I wanted. Then later on, I decided I was going to leave the club and leave it all together. The finances, the everything. I mean, there were certain aspects about the club that were great. Certain ones I could do without. Just like every job. But then I began to realize that certain friends of mine, or certain people I even associate with, the certain ones that have the same type of qualities that I share, they would be the ones that are always telling me how they're having really good relationships, or how they were interested in somebody, but they were nervous about how it was going to play out because they weren't really 100% sure of the qualities that that person had on their end. So I also began to notice a lot of my friends that had other qualities but were the first ones talking about, well, you know what? I want him to marry me, or I want her to marry me. I want them to be my spouse. I want them to, you know, I just want to get to this point so we can have this grand wedding. And I'm noticing that certain qualities they don't have. And then later on, find out that whatever relationship was there has met its untimely demise, so to speak. So, you know, there are certain things to being a spouse. But please understand, being a spouse is not for everyone. It's not. If you are somebody that really just can't see yourself even finding the perfect woman, it doesn't matter how pretty she is, doesn't matter how, you know, amazing her conversation is. If you really just can't see yourself being consistent with one lady, or being serious, or being faithful or loyal to one woman, you know, honestly, bro, being married is not for you. And hey, that's okay. We have some people that are in a place where they're not really going to get it until, you know, they're a little older. You know, and once again, that's okay. Marriage is not for everybody. There's a lot of people who are married that want to be divorced. There's a lot of people who are single that are at their happiest moment because they're single or because they're divorced. They had a hard marriage. So, you know, it's okay to be single and it's okay to be married. But if you're going to be married, you don't need to be walking around like you're single. All right, that is it for this session, guys. I can't wait to talk to you again about whatever happens to pop up in my head. This is Dominique and Eliza's Havoc. Talk to you guys later.